the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. Marky, we're doing okay.
Yes, we're here.
Doing okay. We're here. What's that?
I'm gonna start again because
here we
so
go.
Good.
Maybe we're not.
Sorry about that.
Oh, is that okay?
That's okay. It's all good.
It happens.
See, only God is perfect, Nick. Mm-hmm. Only God.
Oh, that's all right.
You know, the pumpkin man over there.
And don't you ever forget it.
Hey, listen.
How could we?
God doesn't. Yeah, exactly. God doesn't allow me to forget that. There's no way. I always tell the readers when they come. So anyway, Marky, we're
yes,
on.
Yes, okay, they're
so,
changing the towers at the station.
We weren't slipping into the under the rock scene over here, no. Not at all.
But could somebody clarify the date?
Today.
Yeah, it's September still, right?
It is, yes. Right.
Why is there a great pumpkin in our...
You know, Nick is a...
Anticipation
he takes,
is a wonderful
he takes,
thing.
Very
it's a
serious,
good thing.
He takes what Jesus said very seriously. Let the children come unto me, because to them belongs the kingdom of God. You know?
Yeah.
So Nick is,
I love it.
The childlikeness. All right.
Hey, I get started on Halloween every year early, and I'm a kid at Christmas with this.
You already started in July.
Are you getting me static?
I'm just getting excited, and I have fun with everything.
I'll tell you, you know, it's static. And it'll be here before we know it. I can't believe we're this late into September.
Yep, already. Yep.
You know, so, but anyway.
It falls in the air.
It is. Well, as a matter of fact.
Next week.
This what today? Today is the
18th.
The 18th.
On the 20th. On the 23rd.
So by the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, Monday.
Although it's
I don't
supposed
know.
To be warm this weekend, but still fall is in the air.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right. Everybody's doing fine. Geraldine, you're here with us today.
Yes,
we're happy
Father.
To have you.
Thank you.
And you said you were in the church praying with 9 other people. That was nice.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Isn't that nice?
Wonderful.
So nice.
I'm at my best when I'm there.
Yeah.
Because I'm not. Jumping around.
No, but it's true.
Being goofy.
It's true.
The safest place, isn't it? Safest place for me.
I think for all of us, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite place in the house, in all honesty, is a mm-hmm. the chapel.
Yes.
The chapel. And, of course, my bed, you know.
Oh, there you go.
I always remember, maybe I've said this before, but Sister Susan, our principal, she said, you know, and I don't do it all the time, but I do it sometimes, you know, and she's... When she makes her bed in the morning, she pats the pillow, and she mm-hmm. says, no, don't go away. I'll be right back. So, just stay right there. You know, 18 hours from now, I'll be back or whatever.
Bruised and battered and everything
else. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, some kids, that's their excuse. But why should I make my bed if I'm going to unmake it again when I come back?
That's
I'll be
me.
Back in a couple
that's
of hours.
Me.
You know, so, speaking of that, so we've had children's confessions this week. Now, I didn't do it this time, but I've done it before. Where I'll give them as penance to make their bed in the morning,
okay.
mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of them don't. Because I would ask them, I say, "Well, do you make your bed? You know, do you have chores?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have chores to do?"
Uh-huh.
And you'd be surprised how many kids have no chores.
Oh my God!
Have
nowadays, because back then we did.
Yeah,
Our
beds had to be made, and mm-hmm. that's the first thing that happens in the
Until
morning.
Until this day, we still make our beds.
Right.
All right, Tony, you're with us, and you're doing okay.
Yeah. Could be better, but I'm all right.
You could always be better. We could all be better.
There's always room for improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. Much improvement.
And Christina, what did you say? You're not smart? You're
I'm not smart. I'm just a smart aleck.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes.
Why did you bring that up? Why did you say that?
Because when Tony came in, he said, all the talents in the room.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I said, Geraldine, he's not talking about you.
And I said I was talking about you.
It was, yeah.
And then I said, well, that's not me because I'm not talented.
Oh.
Just a smart aleck.
Yes, no,
you know your talent. You can be a little bit of a smart aleck, but you are talented.
A little bit?
a little bit.
Just joking. Just joking, really seriously.
I don't know, Marky. Marky's saying that there's static on. There's a lot of static, so I don't know.
A lot of static?
I don't know. We can't.
They have no control over that.
We have no control.
Just don't, they're switching from the towers.
Yeah. They're switching towers or something like that. So just don't tune us out. Stay with us.
Stay with us. Hang in.
Don't let us all go down. We'll go down again. Whatever. Well, you know, where to go? I've got a few things. You know, the world scene from Rome. The Holy Father's general audience yesterday.
He
spoke of the church as he's in this catechesis on the church, I believe, or the creed. Is it the creed or the church? The church, I think. The church is both Catholic and apostolic. We can talk about that. The missing message of those marriages. I don't know if you caught any news on that. It's very interesting, so I want to share that with you at some point, perhaps, God willing, during the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pope had 20 weddings. He celebrated 20 marriages. Images. And your father saw that, actually.
He did. I saw images.
Your pa. Your pa saw that.
That's what I called him.
He said it was very nice.
Yes.
That was on Sunday, actually. But it was quite controversial because there were all kinds of, and it's amazing what the secular media does with it. And then, of course, you've got the certain sectors of the Catholic media that distort it as well. But but it was like, because he had the marriages of those who had been cohabitating, some who had been divorced and were being remarried. I want to explain that as well. So that was that. And then 8 reasons why straight men don't want to get married. I think it was only straight men that get married, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. What's a straight man?
A non-gay man.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Non-gay.
All right, so anyway, I guess.
And I guess that doesn't apply.
These days, doesn't apply. Some. Okay, so 8 reasons why straight men don't want to get married. So we'll look at that perhaps. You gave that to me
or
this morning.
Or men that want to marry.
Yes, that's from our friend Oscar.
And now that I think about it, how do you decipher that now? Straight man is a man that wants to marry a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A gay man is a man that can marry a man.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really odd how...
Don't break your head over it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The winds have changed.
Right.
You know, the landscape has changed. We're not in Kansas anymore.
What kind of man are you?
Yeah.
You have to.
And then another, how strange, longing for heaven is almost never expressed today.
That's
interesting, huh?
That's what we always talk about.
That's
Jerry
right.
And I.
I'm longing for heaven.
I'm longing
yes.
to go home.
Exactly. You know, was it yesterday? I think the Gospel of Luke. I like that little Gospel. You know, Jesus, he's talking to the crowd and he says, to what shall I compare the people of this generation? Mm-hmm. He said, what are they like? He says, they're like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, we played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep.
Mm.
For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said he is possessed by a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is vindicated by all her children. It was yesterday's Gospel. You know, that idea of the children, you know, what it was is and I had the children's mass yesterday, so I didn't expect that they would understand this. You know, we played you the flute. We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, but you didn't weep. You know, to this I compare the people of this generation. And the point of it is that the children in the marketplace, say, in those, you know, going back, you know, when kids were kids,
mm-hmm.
going way back 2,000 years.
The kids were innocent.
The innocence. But, you know, but even so today, you know, the kids, you get a kid wants to play, right?
Yes.
Want to play, but the others don't want to join in. We're not going to play. Well, then let's do this. No, I don't want to do that. Well, let's do whatever mm-hmm. it might be, right? As kids, we used to get on our bikes, the boys, right, in the neighborhood. And we had to decide, you know, are we going to be cowboys and Indians, or are we going to be in the army today, right? You know, our bikes become horses if we're going to be cowboys and Indians. If we're going to play army today, then they become our Jeeps and our tanks and our planes and all that kind of stuff. Are we going to be, all this kind of, and that was fun. You know, we had a lot of fun doing that. I don't know that kids do that anymore. I don't know.
I don't think so.
No, they got their video games.
So, but anyway.
Woody don't play at all.
So somebody doesn't want to play. No, I don't want to play. No, I don't want to. So anyway, so the point is, I think Jesus is saying, you know, okay, so I can't satisfy you people. You know, I've laid out the plan. I've shown you the way, and you're like little children, not childlike, because to them belongs the kingdom of God, but childish. You just kind of want to do it your way. You don't want to cooperate.
Always throwing tantrums.
Tantrums, exactly. So anyway, that's kind of a lead in, I guess. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It applies to today so much.
Yeah. So where do we begin? Maybe. Why don't we begin here with the marriage thing, huh? We'll do that. Eight reasons why straight men don't want to get married. And this is coming from a secular
source.
Press or source, yeah.
Yes.
Secular commentary. Mm-hmm. It's just not a commentary, it's based on a study, but it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It tells you a little bit about, you know, because I tell you, this is a problem. Because I hear this all the time, you know, with young people who aren't that young. Yeah. And they're saying, you know, there's nobody out there. We were just talking about this the other day.
Yes.
So many women says, you know, there's nobody's out there. Nobody wants to get married. Nobody wants to commit, you know?
And there's one that will always be faithful to you who commits.
And
that's Jesus.
Exactly.
That's he. I found my man. That's him.
That's right. Well, you know, there is the call. We talked about this the other day, but it's not that everybody's destined to be married. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, but everybody's certainly is baptized Catholics, as Christians. We are committed to Christ, and therefore we're committed to the church's mission. Whether we're priests, whether we're religious, whether we're married, whether we're single, we all are committed to, we should be committed to the mission of the church, which is what? To bear Christ to the world, you know, in word and in deed. And the deeds must correspond to the words, and the deeds are more powerful, right? But anyway, so eight reasons why straight men don't want to get married. I find that just odd. Straight men, it just seems so odd.
You got to declare. It's
You got to be specific.
We're not in Kansas anymore. All right, give me a reason. What do you think?
They're used to doing things for themselves.
Let's see. Not quite like that, but...
they don't want to come in.
Well, first of all, they'll lose respect.
Respect.
Now, what does that mean? Yeah.
It's a good question.
Okay.
Respect for what?
We've talked about it before here. Today, fathers are figures of fun more than figures of respect. I don't know what this word is, schlubbly. Schlubbly. I've never heard, Geraldine, you're the expert on this, but S-C-H-L-U-B-B-Y.
Schlubby.
What is that? I've never heard that before. Anyway.
Like blah.
The schlubby guy with the flower diaper bag at the mall, or one of the endless array of buffoonish TV dads and sitcoms.
I think it's not the most masculine of fellows, maybe.
Commercials.
Oh.
In today's culture, father never knows best. It's no better. In the news media, 69% of mass media reporting and commentary on men is unfavorable.
Wow.
It's terrible.
So a couple of generations ago, a man wasn't considered fully adult until he was married with kids. A couple of generations ago. But that's all changed. So again, father figures are... the butt of jokes and all that today. So they're not figures of respect. So that was one reason.
That would make sense.
They'll lose respect.
I choose not to get married because I don't want to be a joke. That's terrible.
Yeah, but it's you see this in the, you know, it's certainly out there. Aside from the, what was that? And I didn't see much of it, but the Cosby Show, wasn't he a...
Bill Cosby.
He was a good father.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
But that was, what, a couple of generations ago now, a couple of decades ago.
Yes, at least.
How time flies. Another reason. why men don't get married, straight men. You lose out on sex.
What?
Oh.
That's what, according to this...
That's all they think about, right?
Pew Research Center report.
They probably shouldn't be getting married if that's what's...
Married men have more sex than single men on average, but how much less than men who are cohabitating with their partners outside of marriage? Cohabitators said they were happier and more confident than married couples and singles.
That's all mental.
That's based on the... Exactly. Yeah. So the Pew Research Center, okay? You lose friends.
Hmm.
The wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine. That's an old song, but
right.
It's true. When married, men's ties with friends from school and work tend to fade. And this doesn't affect women so much, but it does affect men's self-esteem because they tend to be less social in general. But the things change. You know that. When I became a priest, I experienced a radical change in my life, radical change. And then when I became pastor, it was even more radical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a woman has a child, when a woman has children, things change.
Mm-hmm.
Get married, things change. So anyway, so that's, you lose your friends.
I didn't have many friends to begin with. Still.
Or they weren't your friends to begin with.
Basically, yeah.
Somebody said that the other day at the... And the sacrists are preparing for the mass. And you know, I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I didn't know you had any friends.
Oh.
And he looked at his brother and he said, but I think my brother's my friend.
Yeah. So
he's your brother. He ain't heavy. He's your brother. You lose your space.
That's true.
Okay.
You know that, Tony.
Yes,
yeah.
Woman takes over.
That's right.
Oh, yes, she does.
So you hear a lot today. You hear a lot about men retreating to their man caves, right?
What's that? I don't.
You lost yours a long time ago.
But why do they retreat? Why do they retreat? Because they've lost the battle for the rest of the house.
This is your room, Tony. The rest of the house is mine.
There you go.
The garage.
Garage. Slowly getting creeping out. Well, the garage could be good for you.
So the men are exiled to the attics, to the garages, to the basements.
Right? Outside.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, the dog has to be outside.
Or the doghouse. You have to share with Bebe now.
I've always been in a doghouse.
Hey, this is interesting. You could lose your kids and your money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
To some.
And they may not even be your own kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is true also.
Lots of men are aware of the dangers of divorce and worried that if they were married and it went sour, the women might take everything, including the kids.
Yeah.
And other men were concerned that they might wind up paying child support for kids who weren't even theirs.
Mm-hmm. Mm. See, I wonder if people, when they get married, they realize that it's more than just the tying of, you know what I'm saying? It's
sure.
It should be a lot more involved.
No, mm-hmm. No, it's all
that's
about
not,
them.
That's not taught today.
No.
Everything is upside down.
Mm-hmm.
This depresses me when I, you know, really, it shouldn't be this way.
No.
When you listen to people's stories and the sad stories, and there's nothing you can do about it, the breakup of a marriage, or you listen to the kids, I have to say, the children.
Sad. They
it
suffer.
It is so sad.
And the sad part, too, is that then they think it's their fault.
Yeah. They don't know how to communicate, you know.
No.
But there's, because I don't want to go in too much into that, but I deal with it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You lose in court, another reason why men don't want to get married. The family court legal system is stacked against them.
Oh, this is true.
Women gain custody and child support the majority of the time. The family court judges still tend to favor women. You lose your freedom. I think maybe that's, you were alluding to that. You know well about that,
yeah.
I'm certain.
Yes, I do.
About that. But this is actually a little bit different because if you're charged with child support and you can't pay, you can be put in jail.
Mm-hmm. The man can, not the woman.
The man, right. And if you can't afford a lawyer, you don't have the right to have one appointed because, according to the Supreme Court, it's technically a civil matter, never mind the jail time. I wasn't aware of that.
Hmm.
And then finally, single life is better than ever.
Not really.
Well, listen, you know, the value of marriage... to men, what's interesting, while the value of marriage to men has declined, the quality of single life is improved. By the way, before I even say that, and I thought this was interesting, in this Pew Research Center, this report, women ages 18 to 34 value or a desire, their desire for a successful marriage.
Whoops.
Successful marriage is one of the most important things in their lives. As one of the most important things in their lives has risen 9 percentage points from 1977. So from 28% to 37%. So women desire more. This is very important to them, a successful marriage. Mm. Whereas for men, it's dropped from 35% to 29%. And for these reasons that I've that's been stipulated right here. But the last one is single life is better than ever. You know, I remember, and I was a little bit shocked that he said it, but we had somebody on the radio a couple of years ago, and we got into this whole topic of men who don't want to commit and all that. And he said, well, the problem is the women. Now, I'm just saying he said that. I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. He said that. But he made an interesting point that if women are just out there, and, you know, if there isn't this regard for chastity, virginity, chastity, if there is no, because there's no social stigma to premarital sexual intercourse or all this, and there's no social stigma today to cohabitating and all that, then why commit?
Why commit right? when you can get it?
There you
for
go.
Free. It's like women, the guy goes as far as the woman allows it. Now, there's other cases where, you know.
But sure.
That's true.
I mean, it takes two, but you don't want to. But it's an interesting point, you know.
Yes. I was telling Jerry this morning that my friend Christina, she had different, she was in relationships with the guys, and she would break up with them right away. She said, I am not. Like many girls, you will respect me, and if you don't want to, I want nothing to do with you.
Sure.
And the man who is her husband now, the same. She said, if you love me, you will wait for me.
Yeah.
Till we get married, because I live according to God's law. And he did. And they have a successful marriage. They're close to the church.
You know, with that, one of the... from the book of Tobit, you know, one of the most beautiful, because it really is, you know, I say the landscape has changed, the winds have changed, and it really, it begs from us a stance, that we take a stance, you know, either, I always think of Jesus, it says, you're with me or you're against me, you're hot or you're cold, but you got to declare yourself, because if you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth, because now, yeah, of course, the landscape has changed. But from the book of Tobit, on their wedding night, Tobiah, I like to choose this if a couple, you know, for weddings, if they say, you know, Father, you choose the readings, and this is the one I always choose from the Old Testament. Because on the wedding night, Tobiah arose from the bed and said to his wife, he says, sister, get up. Even I like the fact that he says, sister, get up. He said, let us pray and beg our Lord to have mercy on us and to grant us deliverance. So Sarah got up, and they started to pray and beg that deliverance might be theirs. They begin with these words, blessed are you, O God of our fathers. Praise be your name forever and ever. Let the heavens and all your creation praise you forever. You made Adam, and you gave him his wife Eve to be his help and support. And from these two, the human race descended. You said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Let us make him a partner like himself. Now, Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. Yeah. So call down your mercy on me and on her and allow us to live together to a happy old age.
Mm-hmm.
It's very beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yes. But that we're in the faith of our ancestors, acknowledging you know, that we're in the faith of our ancestors, and let us not bring shame to those who preceded us, but to live with in obedience to your word, and that just that beautiful... Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. You know, so it goes back to whatever you were saying. I forgot already what you were saying, Christina. But
that's
it made
not
me
important.
Think of that. made me think of that. It was important.
A man waits and a woman waits. For
there
each
you go.
Other.
Yeah, that's exactly the that. Best for a noble purpose, for something
noble. Yes. Noble purpose. And mm-hmm. the, yes.
Because you know what's amazing, and this is something that we did years ago when we had, years ago, I say, when I was working in a different parish. I mean, here our preparation has been, a pre-Cana preparation has been in Spanish for the most part. And our deacon and his wife, Nick and Nydia, prepare the couples. But I remember, you know, years ago we had a questionnaire. And so you'd separate the man from the woman, and they'd fill out this questionnaire, and there'd be all kinds of questions. Like, for instance, how many children do you want, you envision for yourself, you know? Or with regards to finances, how do you view money, your income, whatever? And so let's just say the man says, you know, I want lots of children. I envision having a big family. So he's answering his question. The woman, on the other hand, says, you know, two at most, no more than two. Okay, what about the money situation? The man says, you know, we save. We save for retirement. Mm-hmm. We save for the children's education and all that. So money is made. Money is put into savings. The woman, she says, money is made to be spent. You're here today. You're gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then you bring them together, and you begin to share. You know, this is
interesting.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how many couples didn't. Those are just two examples, yeah. but yes. they didn't talk. They haven't
didn't
talked
talk
about those
the
things.
Important things.
No, mm-hmm. because there's, in a sense, I'm as Tobias says, Lord, you know, I take this woman not out of lust, mm-hmm. but for a noble purpose.
Yes.
When we, again, we go back to this whole idea of giving free rein to the flesh, mm-hmm. it can be very blinding. So that even any defects I see in the other person, well, that's okay. The fact is we love each other and we're physically bound together and with great, you know, great fire and passion. And so all this other stuff will take care of itself, right? Or this love, this the fire of this love, which is passionate love, really very superficial, right?
Yep.
Is bound to change, but mm-hmm. but they don't anticipate.
Or even like the physical appearance. When you're dating, you know, a lot of people they're thin. After you get married and the children come along, people start putting on the weight. So is it about the physical or the person, the inside? You know what, because a lot of,
yeah.
and I'm not saying not
no,
to
no,
take
no.
care of yourself.
No, but I hear what you're saying.
But you see that in a lot of couples.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be about the person.
Of course.
I mean, marriage is not a. I mean, I've watched so many couples. You know, mm-hmm. the joy and the light in their eyes, and you know, as they're courting each other, and then when they get married, and you know, the children start. It just things change. But that's it's a good thing. It's right. a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing.
Because it's not about them.
No. It's
not,
not
about
it's,
anyone.
No, it's
about God.
It's about God.
Uh-huh.
Life is work.
Mm-hmm.
Life is work. Okay, so going back to we'll finish this and then we'll take a break. Mm-hmm. We haven't even taken a break, have we? And Nick,
no,
you haven't even said
it's
anything.
It's okay.
Because we started late anyway.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, so we right. got time.
the single life is better than ever. That's another reason why men don't marry. What does that mean? What does it mean? But the value of marriage to men has declined. The quality of single life has improved. Single men were once looked upon. At one point, they were looked on with suspicion, mm-hmm. passed over for promotion for important jobs. The jobs usually valued stable family men mm-hmm. before. That's all changed. And it was also hard to have a love life that wasn't aimed at marriage because it had to be aimed at marriage. Again, this is where the
right.
women kind of tame the men, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to give myself away here, but, you know, this is, you know, we're courting each other towards marriage.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Premarital sex was risky and frowned upon. Mm-hmm. There was a social stigma. Now, no one looks at the single life in the same way. Dating is very easy. Even if people date, it's hookups rather than mm-hmm. connections, making the connection. And I've read that, you know.
Yes.
Believe it or not, employers probably prefer employees with no conflicting family responsibilities today. Plus, Video games, cable TV, the internet provide entertainment that didn't used to be available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this good for society? Probably not.
No.
Mm-mm.
As falling birth rates and increasing single motherhood demonstrate. But people respond to these incentives. So, anyway, that's...
interesting.
We'll take a break and then we'll come back and we'll look at these couples who did marry in Rome and why the controversy and the distortion on that. We'll take a look at that. So, all right, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you. On Saturday, October 4th at 9 a.m. for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. That's right, Saturday, October 4th at 9 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy in Chicago, the corner of Evergreen and Noble, just off Division, right off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I begin with the that Jesus, he says in Luke's gospel, he says, to what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? Well, they're like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not, but you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you didn't weep. Well, John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say, he's a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is vindicated by all her children. The point is that, you know, the Lord has laid out a plan.
Yeah.
You know, God has laid out a plan. And we're not childlike, but we're childish, or I would say we're like adolescence,
mm-hmm.
perpetuating adolescence. We don't want to commit. We don't want to be bound. We don't want to. It goes back to the book of Genesis. You know, we will not serve. Right? We're not. Mm-hmm. We will not serve. But in any case, you know, it's. Actually, we were at a meeting the other day. I was with priests from my religious community, and we were talking about, as it comes up so often, about vocations, you know, that what do we do to inspire others into the priesthood? And it's a challenge because, again, there aren't a lot of guys out there who want to make this kind of a commitment. And it's not a vocation, but it's really a response to a call. So it means there has to be some disposition or some openness to the inbreaking of God's call into one's life. And he does call. I always think, too, what the cardinal said, though. He says, you know, God will provide priests as the need arises. Mm. So if people feel they have no need for priests because they have no need for church, they have no need mm-hmm. for God, then there won't be priests, right? There won't be priests. When that need begins to arise for whatever reason, it could be who knows what it's going to bring, mm-hmm. what it's going to take to bring us to our senses, to reawaken us to our need for God. Because first and foremost, it means there's a recognition that we need God. We need Scripture. We need the Word of God. We need the sacraments of the church, and therefore we need priests, right? But if there's no need, then God's not going to raise them up. That's what the cardinal, he made.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a lot. But I was saying to the guys, you know, to the gentlemen, mm-hmm. my confers.
Your brothers.
The brothers. My brothers. I said, you know, maybe we just got to we gotta. I forgot what I said. We've gotta just kind of see it through.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
We gotta
see it through. We gotta weather this.
Weather this.
Right.
Weather. Yeah. You know, because what can you do? You can't. You know, I'm not gonna. Is it the same thing with a mask? I'm not gonna all of a sudden become a. You know, I'm not gonna try to make it exciting for you. I'm not gonna be a. All of a sudden become a clown priest or, you know,
a song and dance man.
Song and dance man.
Mm-hmm. Make it a clown mask.
Exactly. No. You know. But anyway, but the church is always here to reconcile. To reconcile. You know, the church is, as the Pope was speaking about the church, is, this was last week, about the mother, a loving mother, who always has a place prepared, ready for her children, and not going to force anybody to do what they don't want to do. You know, we're not going to put a gun to the head, or we're not going to cut your head off. You know, that's not going to it's not going to happen. But we are here for reconciliation, and our primary mission is one of mercy. So this past week on Sunday, Pope Francis witnessed the marriages of 20 couples at the Vatican at St. Peter's. Your pa, Christina, saw the Mass. He watched the Mass. Pa. And it was interesting, the response. I mean, I read a lot of it. I didn't bring it up earlier in the week because I just, there were other things coming up. But it was amazing, the response, not only from the secular media, but from certain Catholic media as well, that the church was, that this was wrong, that it was sending the wrong message, because some of these couples had been cohabitating. Others had been divorced. Some had already had children, and so the secular press, what the secular press did is they were saying basically, you know, that the Pope is making good on his insistence that the Catholic Church welcome all faithful, not just those who obey church teaching perfectly. Well, nobody perfectly. We should certainly adhere to the teachings of the church. Right. We have an obligation. Yes. We have a responsibility. But there is, that's why we have confessionals, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we are not perfect.
Yes.
And so the positive energy surrounding what Pope Francis did, it's this is edifying. But one has to ask, and I'm reading this is from a commentary from the Bishop Vasa, and I'm not sure exactly what diocese he's what diocese he comes from, but he says, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what he actually did was, he did what the church does.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing out of the ordinary.
No.
We know that even here.
Sure.
It's a
work of mercy.
Right.
You're reconciling
his
children.
This is the thing. We're affected by, I'm always saying this, you know, even as I speak to the people, because I know that we live in a world that is full of defect, and things are twisted and distorted, and we're passing through a diabolical disorientation. And so as I'm looking out into the sacred assembly, all those who are gathered, or those who may come from outside, you know, when they finally hit rock bottom or they're in a crisis, and they say, you know, Father, can you put this back together? You know, okay, well, I'll work with you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God brings good out of evil.
Right.
And light out of darkness, and eventually life out of death. But we're here to assist. We'll help you. But it just, but it also means that, you know, you have an obligation. You've got to do something as well. So the point is that the church makes the sacraments, especially confession, available precisely because we're sinners, and the sacraments are outward signs of the inner graces that give. That are given to help us become less like sinners and more like Jesus Christ. So what the Holy Father did is nothing new, nor is it extraordinary. The Church gave 40 men and women an opportunity to take a graced step in drawing closer to God, and for some of them, a turning away from previous choices that they had made, whether it was to cohabitate or whether it was to have children outside the bond of marriage, or having been through a divorce or whatever. Now, the perception that the media gave, and even certain Catholic news sources gave, was that somehow the Holy Father set aside church practice in this very generous gesture of presiding at these 20 marriages. But that's terribly misleading. And in truth, what was required of them is, okay, they had to produce, or they had to, first of all, show that they were baptized, which is in the case for anybody who comes for marriage. They've got to produce their baptismal certificates. They were required to go through marriage preparation, required by the Diocese of Rome, as it's required by all dioceses throughout the world. They were required to prove a freedom to marry, that there was no impediment, that they weren't in a previous marriage, that there's no impediment. And if there had been a previous marriage, that it had been annulled, so they had to produce, you know, they had to have gone through the process of annulment, which is what the church saying that that basically this marriage was never open to the grace of the sacrament. They had to make a good confession prior to the sacrament. They had to require, they had to present a civil marriage license. In the case of these, now in the United States, it's a little bit different. You have to, you don't have to have a civil, you have to have a license. We can't, it's against the law. We can't marry without a license. It doesn't mean, I think in Mexico, you have to do two things. You get civilly married, and then you're married in the church, because one doesn't accept the other, or something like
that. Or what they do, when you're, at that same day that you get married in the church, then they have a, after the marriage in the church, they have the
civil ceremony
afterwards.
And right.
Yeah, but either way, it's still, you have
exactly,
to,
because here we can't perform a marriage without the license from the state or the city.
Yes.
And then we're authorized to then sign the license, and then we send it back to the city, and then the couple is registered, is married. So they've done both at the same time, the same place. Mm-hmm. They've got to complete the prenuptial questionnaire.
Yes.
And they're required to recite their vows in accordance with the accepted form.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Father observed all the standard formalities the church has observed. And it's not... what's unusual is it's not typical for a priest to, at a wedding, to publicly announce that the couple was living together before the nuptials, or that one or both had been in a previous marriage. So what happened in the Vatican was, for whatever reason, the cases were publicly made manifest, and perhaps as a way of showing the church's openness to sinners. And it's this proof of the church's welcome to those seeking ongoing conversion, which is cause for joy.
Yes.
Cause for joy. Again, we look at the landscape has changed. How many people? We know this because we get people all the time. They said, you know, they'll use, I was deceived, or I was delusional, or I bought into but you know, I've come to a point of conversion in my life, and we want our marriage... We want to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other thing is...
Reconcile
with God, reconcile with the church.
Like the prodigal sons and daughters.
Exactly.
You're welcoming back home.
Now, it's important to that people understand that what is the case is that if a Catholic marries outside the church, and they're not excommunicated, but they cannot receive the sacraments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they usurp their right to the sacraments until that situation is reconciled. And so for this, too, you know, people come, we want to begin to receive the sacraments. Again, it's an inner, so we want to carry these people, walk these people through this this time of conversion, to have everything reconciled with the church. So anyway, and the bottom line is, it was a manifestation of the Holy Father's charism of mercy, which has been very attractive and very attracting to people. You hear this all over the place, you know, because people have this distorted, and maybe because of experience, bad experience, but anyway, with a priest here or there or whatever, but the point is that he was doing nothing in the extraordinary. He was acting in a rather ordinary way, doing what the church does at a very difficult time in the society. It's not just here in the United States. It's all over the place. It's a bringing people to respond to God's call, the grace of God, calling people to conversion, to turn away from a previous way of life to a new life in Christ. And so this is his, he was clearly manifesting the church's charism of love and mercy, and the Pope, what he loves is the sinner. You know, as he says, there's nothing to imply that he in any way loves or condones the sin. He loves the sinner, and because of this love is not shy about calling them to reject sin and to come more fully into the light of God's love and God's grace. So that's, does that make sense? That's a clarification of what was going on Sunday. People have this strange notion that the Pope's going to change everything, that he's going to turn it all upside down. No, he's not going to.
No, they don't get it.
No, well, as he said, you know, I'm a son of the Church, and mm-hmm. as the Holy Father, he's got a responsibility. He's
right.
Got he has to protect and safeguard, but at the same time, as in any parish, mm-hmm. you know, again, you come, okay, you want to be, you're repentant, mm-hmm. you want to be reconciled with God, with the Church, you want to put things in the right way, on that right path. Well, we're here to help you do that, you know.
And that's the mission of the Church.
It's Church's mission. It's perpetuating the very life of Jesus. Do we do it with perfection? No, mm-hmm. only God is perfect. But we certainly are having to read the signs of the times. And again, the confessional is the one of the most beautiful sacraments.
It is.
You know,
yes.
A sacrament of genuine healing, the healing of the soul, and that can even have implications for the body and the mind. All right, we'll take a final break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Pope John Paul II once said, "Humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him." I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us today. So we've been talking about marriage, I guess, basically, haven't we? And going back to the scripture, and here too, you know, if couples say, you know, we want you to, you know, pick the readings out, you know, so I mentioned that I would always take that reading from the book of Tobit, where Tobit, he says, "Sister, get up to Sarah. Let us pray and beg our Lord to have mercy on us and to grant us deliverance." And then he prays so beautifully, you know, that we're in the faith of our ancestors. Let us basically respect this faith and carry on the tradition, right? Carry on the tradition because, in fact, it's God's command.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's command. And so, now, Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine, not, again, I never really caught this until I just, as I'm reading it now, but sister, get out.
Sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take this wife of mine, not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. Call down your mercy on me and on her and allow us to live together to a happy old age.
That's beautiful.
It is. You know, talk about the respecting the dignity of the woman, right? The
Father,
child
that reminds
of God.
Me of certain couples. There's been a couple of, a few couples that they've been, you know, when they're dating, they come to church and they pray together in adoration. They pray the rosary. They go to mass together. Or even where the guy asks her to her hand in marriage before the Blessed Sacrament.
Right. Now,
that's so beautiful.
We had that one couple. Remember, I don't know if you, no, you were, probably weren't at that mass. It was at the 11:30 mass. And the fiancé, the boyfriend or the fiancé, he formally became a fiancé, right? Because a fiancé is when you're committed and you're you're moving towards marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he proposed to her at mass.
Wow.
In a very public form.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, after Holy Communion and before the final blessing, he wanted to come up and he did, and he vowed himself.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It was very touching.
And she must have been tears.
And they come from a family. She comes from a family, I think there were like 18 children.
Wow.
18 children.
Wow.
One of 18. Can you imagine?
No.
Remember Father Luis?
Gutierrez.
He's with
El Sembrador.
Is he Gutierrez? Yes, exactly. He comes from a family.
Of 20
He's one of something like 20-some.
20-some children.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
I tell you. Well, the other day I said I had the 10th anniversary of Peter and Andrea Stahovich.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole family. They all have lots of kids, too, you know. So he's got his siblings. They were all there with their children. And you had all these little children. So it was a beautiful thing, you know. But the other reading that I, there's a couple of readings I choose, but if the couples allow me that, I always give them the opportunity to choose their own readings. But if they don't, if they just leave it up to me, then I, because there's always a reading from the Old Testament, then there's a reading from one of the letters, the epistles, and then, of course, the gospel. And I love this one from Paul in his letter to the Romans, where he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Isn't that often that word mercy comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, that the marriage is not about you, it's about God. He's calling you into this mission, which is so necessary for the good of society. This is the crisis in our society, and it's not just here, it's everywhere. And it's in the culprit is, I am convinced, the media. I think it's the pop culture, the media, the state now, because the state makes it very, very hard for marriage and family, you know, just from an economic point of view. And so we are, the forces are pushing against us, right? The powers and the principalities. Mm-hmm. But we must not conform to this age. And we have. And when we do, then we realize that, you know, it's going to implode at some point. It's disastrous as it is. But it's going to get increasingly worse until there is a collective conversion. I keep praying and hoping that there might be when Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego,
mm-hmm.
and that caused the conversion of millions. I think it was 7 to 9 million Indians. You know, even the priests couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, they had small groups that would, they say we're evangelizing and all that, but it was this, it was kind of the St. Paul experience, where St. Paul was, blinded, and Jesus says, you know, Paul, he says, Saul, why do you persecute me? What? Because, of course, Paul was persecuting the church. He says, Saul, he blinded him. He says, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? Well, you persecute my church, and in persecuting the church, you persecute me. Because he's bound to the church. He's wedded to the church. He's the head, we're the body. He's the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And the bride and the groom, the marriage, the family, the domestic church, as we would call it, is being persecuted mm-hmm. in a big way, and we succumb. So the hope is that there be this kind of collective or this manifestation of God that will, you know, blind us in order to reopen our eyes to the truth that'll set us free. In the meantime, you know, we suffer. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, right? Today's only Thursday, so mm-hmm. God bless you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Amen.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The